Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Bob Elson. We're set as usual for our Saturday afternoon show. It's a beautiful weekend for sports. The Cubs, as you know, are at home at Wrigley Field. The White Sox are on the road. And the Bears will be in action tomorrow at Soldier Field.
At Pittsburgh.
And that should be quite a football game. Pittsburgh is a powerhouse, as most of you know, and they lost last week, which should make them very, very tough. Anyway, it's a big weekend in the world of sports. And for that reason, our guest today is a very good friend of mine, George Langford, the sports editor of the Chicago Tribune, one of the world's great newspapers. And we'll be talking all about sports with George. He'll be our guest in just about 1 minute. You know, George, I found one thing in my travels that the Chicago Tribune has prestige all over the world, because no matter where I happen to be, in Tokyo or in Paris or any other place, I could always get either the Chicago Tribune or the New York Herald Tribune.
It does have a pretty wide circulation. Sometimes the scores are a little bit late when you get them in Tokyo, but yeah, we do get around.
Yeah. That's true. That's one thing I noticed about getting the Paris edition of the Chicago Tribune. The scores were 4 or 5 days behind. And sometimes, as you know, I get interested in the scores of games. But anyway, it was enjoyable.
Well, we enjoy our, putting out the paper. And we kind of feel like that it's really not our sports section, but more the fans' sports section, and that we're just kind of the keepers of it and hope that we do a good job and do it the way that they want it.
Somebody asked me last night, and you'd be the person to answer it, when I asked me who was going to be on the show, and I said, George Langford. He's a sports editor of the Tribune. I said, how did he get that job? He looks like he's only about 25 years old.
Well, a couple of facelifts and dye your hair and everything keeps me going. I don't know. I was very fortunate. I guess you, like in many cases, being in the right place at the right time. And I've had a lot of good people that have helped me out. So I feel very fortunate.
What about the Arch Ward days? Arch was a very close friend of mine. How many years did he have your job?
Well, I don't know exactly, but it was probably over 20 years. And, of course, he was the probably the premier sports editor of this century, and he was a promoter. He promoted so many major events. We don't really promote as much anymore as we used to. There's other responsibilities for sports editor, although this week we are one of the very few promotions I've ever been involved in. This week is a Bill Veeck night, Tuesday night at Comiskey Park. And we're doing that just to give fans an opportunity to come by and say goodbye to Bill Veeck and kind of give him a little taste of his own medicine, kind of give it back to Bill. So if they want to give him a little gag gift or just come by and say goodbye, that's what we want to give them the opportunity to do. And Bill is feeling a lot better. He's out of the hospital, and he says he'll be there, which we're all grateful for. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We've got some real surprises, and he's going to be surprised at some of the things that we do. But it's going to be a lot of fun. It starts at 6 o'clock at Comiskey Park and goes until 7:30. It'll also be on television. The entire thing will be televised by Channel 44. But the fans will get an opportunity to go on the field and shake hands with Bill and sign a large card there, kind of a farewell card. And if they want to bring banners or anything like that, they're welcome to, and they'll probably see themselves on television.
I can remember the Veeck years because of working about the same times that he was active in baseball. This isn't his first retirement. Is this brought on for some particular reason?
Well, one thing, he's making quite a profit in the sale of the club. He's about doubling his money from 5 years ago in a sale to Edward DiBartolo, assuming that sale is approved, which it's, I think it goes before the American League owners in October 24th. But Also, his health has been poor, as you know, and I think that it's just gotten to the point where he cannot take the day-to-day grind anymore, and that was one of the reasons that he's bowing out. He was a very, very sick man this past month. He was in a hospital for a month and was in extremely guarded condition for a while.
Well, he has been, unfortunately, he's been on the ill side most of his career. But he's gone on in spite of it. He's really a remarkable man. His handicaps and everything else, he just goes on like...
I think that's what I admire most about the man. He's such a bright, sharp individual who cares about people. I think he's really the people's owner. If there ever was one, he is it. And he cares about the little guy. And he works all the time. He sleeps maybe 2 or 3 hours a day. He's up and going. And if you and I, if we had only one leg and we couldn't hear and barely see, and have all the other internal infirmities that he has, and still he sets the pace that he does,
yeah.
It's almost contrary to medical
science
that he does it.
Well, he is a remarkable man. Did his career all start down at St. Louis with the Browns?
I think it started in Milwaukee with the old Milwaukee Brewers and AAA, and he and Rudy Schaefer, who's long been his partner, started there, and then they went to St. Louis and Cleveland, Cleveland and then St. Louis, and then to the White Sox in 1959, which was our last pennant year here, and then he had to resign in 60 because of ill health and was out of baseball for, about 10 years. Before he was able to come back.
You're too young to remember the midget incident.
No, but I remember reading about it.
That would really something.
Well, you covered the Browns when and also Cleveland when you were with the White Sox, and maybe you could tell me a few stories about the Vecchian years.
Well, the midget incident was probably the most unexpected and the most publicized, and it forever put a damper on midgets or tall men or freaks or anything else coming up to the plate. The commissioner ruled on that, and Landis was very unhappy about that thing.
Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking earlier, Bob, about Commissioner Landis and how he would have handled some of the things that are going on today, such as the suspension of Ferguson Jenkins because of drugs and Boy Kuhn attempted to do that this past month and was overruled last week by an independent arbitrator. And I wondered what your opinion was on that.
Well, my opinion of that case would be that if Landis was commissioner and he made that ruling and an arbitrator stepped in, they would have had Landis's resignation immediately.
Mm.
He was a no-nonsense guy, and he ruled baseball, and there were no arbitrators.
Mm-hmm. It's a very ticklish thing because they're asking, in this case, Boy Kuhn was asking Ferguson Jenkins to admit to to something that was criminal in nature, and he just couldn't do that, on advice of lawyers, and therefore he suspended him. And it's gets into the rights of the individual, too. So in some cases, we felt like that although we admired what Boy Kuhn was attempting to do, that he really didn't have the legal legs to stand on, and therefore the decision might not have been right.
Well, of course, in the Landis days, there was no players union.
No players union, no agents, and there was no, there was no protection for a lot of players, too. They got moved around. So there are some good things that have come out of this, although, some people would argue that maybe they don't have the players, the players get too much today because of the agents and in the players union and that sort of thing, and it's kind of spoiled them, and maybe baseball isn't as good as it was then. What's your opinion on that?
Well, it's too bad that you're too young that you never knew Judge Landis, because I tell you, he was really some kind of a man. As you know, he became the first commissioner of baseball. They took him off a federal bench, and he was a tough, no-nonsense guy. Boy, he ruled baseball with an iron hand.
Well, do you see a difference in the maybe the desire of players today and the desire of players before the players' union, that sort of thing? Is there more hustle, less hustle? Do you think they care as much today?
I don't think that it applies actually with the playing of the game. But I do think that attitudes, these enormous salaries, have made players more independent.
Yeah, I think that has. And in my brief career, you know, going back to, say, the mid-60s, when covering baseball, I see a difference. Maybe I'm perceiving something that's not there, but I think there's a difference because I just don't think they care as much. I don't think there's as much loyalty to teams as there was before on the part of players, and they're much more interested in just if they get a big multi-year contract. I just don't think they dive for balls as much. They seem to be much more protective of themselves, and they're just not that interested.
Our guest today, and we're delighted to have him, is an old friend, George Lankford, the sports editor, one of the world's great newspapers, the Chicago Tribune. We'll be back with our guest in just a moment. We're delighted to have George Lankford, the sports editor of the Chicago Tribune, as our guest today. George, readership, I'm sure that you people have a way of measuring the interest, I mean the real down-to-earth interest of readers. Is it pretty much on the same level in the baseball season, the football season, and so on and so forth?
We found it picks up in the football season. That there's right now is one of our busiest times of the year when there's more people reading the sports pages than probably any other time. The reader surveys show that about 70% of the readers are of the sports page readers are very interested in professional football, and the next most popular sport would be baseball, which is very close behind pro football. Then comes, at this time of the year, would come college football. And then there's a pretty big drop down to professional basketball, which is about, I think, 20-22%. And then professional hockey, which is right now about 8-10%.
What part does horse racing play?
Horse racing is harder to measure. Horse racing gets about 22-23%. Readership.
Well, now you people really don't go overboard when it comes to horse racing, do you?
No, we don't, but at the same time, the percentage of space that's devoted to horse racing in the Tribune is about 19-20% of our editorial space is devoted to the entries, the results, and the notes on the individual tracks. And there are three tracks, usually three tracks running in Chicago at one time. Uh-huh. And put all that agate information in the section actually consumes about 19-20% of our space.
George, since you've been sports editor of the Chicago Tribune, do you at times get a reaction by way of telephone or mail or something else from readers?
Well, we've got great readers. They call and write and complain, and they tell us what they like and what they don't like, and we try to use that as a measuring stick, and they have an influence on us. And if we get enough complaints about a certain thing that we're doing that the reader doesn't like, we change it. We hope that we're very attuned to the needs of the reader. And as I said, I think we try to keep this section for the sports reader and not for ourselves.
Our mutual friend Bob Luce always complains that you don't give wrestling a break.
I tell you, those are the most vociferous. There may not be as many of them, but boy, they really complain when we don't have the wrestling results or the stuff before the advanced material on a wrestling match. But Bob seems to fill the place up whether he has our support or not.
Yeah, he does.
He's quite a character and quite a salesman for wrestling. Well, here now, the White Sox and the Cubs have both had dismal years.
It's one of the worst I can remember, where both teams were so poor. It's going to be interesting. I think the White Sox could be in better position than the Cubs to rebound because of the new money that's coming in. If Edward DiBartolo gets the team, he's pledged to spend a lot of money to fix, put that team back on the track. And if you look at what the San Francisco 49ers are doing right now, in pro football, which is a DeBartolo team that he bought 3 years ago, you have to be encouraged because that team was losing maybe 14, 15 games a year. And now this season they're 3-0. They look like the surprise team of the NFL. You look at the Pittsburgh Penguins in the National Hockey League. He bought them 3 years ago, saved them from bankruptcy. They've had a tough time, but now they've turned it around. Last season they became a playoff team. They look much better. They've got, I think, an excellent coach in Eddie Johnston, who was with the Blackhawks a year ago and who the Wurtzes let go, unfortunately. And I think the Pittsburgh Penguins are going to be a very strong team again under DeBartolo. So I think the White Sox have got a bright future, and they have some good young pitchers to build on. But the Cubs is really dismal. It's one of the worst situations I see in pro sports, and I think the Wrigleys really are to blame, and they're not spending enough money on the team. They're really not that interested, I don't think. I can't see the interest there, and unfortunately, Bob Kennedy is not a good businessman and hasn't dealt well with the players in order to keep them and to get better players. So I don't have a lot of hope for the Cubs at this point.
You think that the Wrigleys will ever sell the Cubs?
No, but I wish they would. I think you need new blood. I think you need someone like the DeBartolo to come in, spend the money that's necessary to get good players, to get a good developing farm system. That seems to be the thing that the Wrigleys won't do. They will not spend their own money. They'll spend whatever the team makes. If the team doesn't make any money, then it's not there to spend. They've always, Mr. Wrigley has always operated under the theory that it had to go by itself, that it got no support from the gum company.
What about George Halas? What about Halas? Is Halas kind of a guy that's, is he tight with the dollar, or does he spend money with for the Bears?
Well, he's the players say he is, but you and I both know that there are so many cases where George has been so generous to people that you never hear about that it's hard to say he's tight with a buck. I know personal examples of Brian Piccolo's family, the three daughters that he left and his wife that were set up, you know, with trust funds from Mr. Halas, that is never, you know, things like that that are never publicized. And I think he spent a lot of money recently trying to get the Bears all the necessary things they have to be a champion. If you go out and look at Halas Hall, which is named after Muggs Halas out in Lake Forest, there isn't a finer setup in the country for pro football players. I mean, everything is there. The Bears have no excuses. They've got the greatest training facility going. They have tried, you know, they haven't let any number one draft choices escape to Canada, so they must be paying their players well enough. So I think George Halas is doing his part, but the players aren't doing theirs.
Well, George Halas is one of my favorite people. I'm sure he is yours, too.
He is something. He and I had our differences back when, but we've both mellowed a little bit, and he's become a patriarch and a fine man.
I was going to ask you that. You happened to bring it up yourself. The reaction you get from owners on things that you write in the newspaper.
Well, they call us names. They swear at us, and they don't like it. But I think that sports page has to be a watchdog. You have to point out when a franchise is making mistakes, when things aren't going well. They don't like to read that. They say it's negative reporting, but I think you have to point out the facts. The fan knows what's going on. You're not fooling him at all. So I think that's part of our responsibility.
Our guest today, and we're delighted to have him, is George Langford, the sports editor of the Chicago Tribune. We'll be back with our guest in just a moment. Our guest today is George Langford, the sports editor of the Chicago Tribune. As I mentioned in starting the show, a young-looking man here for a job like that, but he's doing a fine job, and the Tribune has a very fine staff. I hope that Tuesday night will be a big success on Bill Veeck night.
Yeah, I do too, Bob. The success is going to be if people care enough to come out, and that's the thing. If we have a lot of people there, then it's going to naturally be a success, and that's what we want. We want the fans to come out because it is their night to do what they want for Bill Veeck, and I know that some people are disappointed that the team hasn't done better than it has, but you have to remember that Bill Veeck and the late Mayor Daley were the two people that kept the White Sox in Chicago. Otherwise, it would probably be the Seattle Mariners or Denver Nuggets or something like that. I don't know. But they wouldn't be here. And I think that's the big thing. We want to thank him and his partners and everyone for keeping the White Sox here. So even though they're not a great baseball team, the opportunity is still there to build that team into a fine baseball team.
Well, I hope, too, it'll be a big night, and I'll see you Tuesday night at White Sox Park.
Right, 6 o'clock.
Yeah. Thank you, George. Our guest today has been George Lankford, the sports editor of the Chicago Tribune, one of the world's great newspapers. Have a nice day, a nice weekend, and now this is Bob Elson saying goodbye until next Saturday at our usual time.